Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. 6 o'clock and... Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Have a great show for you today. Unless you really like this thing called baseball, because the New York Yankees get swept by the last place Oakland A's. Every game close, every game competitive, every game a loser. And the New York Mets, while they salvaged the last game against the Nationals, who cares? They're done. As they embarrass themselves in the first three, and everyone's going crazy. Oh, DeGrom at home. So what? It's over. In any event, a lot in between, football to boot. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know, I'm doing all right, Craigie. I do feel, though,
Yankee
fans out there,
here
this
comes,
could be.
Comes
it's
a
not
shot.
The base. Not, I, look, I've been telling you over the last, 40 games now, they're under 500.
They got swept by a bad team.
I mean, they did. I mean, and they fly Aroldis Chapman all the way across the country for one game, one inning. And that reeks of panic to me.
No, it doesn't. That reeks. Joe Girardi had that right.
The
people that are out there being critical that the Yankees threw Aroldis Chapman out there, Joe Girardi said, hey, we're paying him. We pay him to play. We get on a plane and fly out. He gets on a plane.
Well, the only good news is that...
I like what Joe Girardi said. He pitched a perfect eighth.
The only good news is that you don't have to watch losing baseball today because they have off. And then comes the Angels that you can, you know, extract a little revenge on. And then comes the Texas... comes the Texas Rangers. And then you're going to the White Sox. And then you're at Houston. And that's when it really gets interesting. So, but right. I don't know if they could stay with Houston. I'm not really sure.
They don't have to.
We'll have to see now. So, losers of six in a row. That's not good.
No. Nope.
They get swept. I don't know.
I know what you're doing. We all know what you're doing right now. Because when you wake up this morning, they're in first place.
Yeah, 2%
they
points
got
ahead
swept.
Of the Red Sox. The Red Sox have more wins than you do.
They got swept.
The Red Sox
they're in
have
first
more wins
place,
than you do.
And now you have, as you just pointed out.
The Red Sox have more wins than you do.
They're in first place. Meanwhile, your beloved Mets... which I know you don't want to get to because it's the same story every single day.
Well, I'm done talking about that.
And I appreciate that because it's over. It's done.
I don't need to hear any more about the Mets. I know what Jacob DeGrom did yesterday. He did a great job. He had, you know, today's his birthday, so
right.
He celebrated with a home run.
Yep.
And an eight-inning gem.
Yep.
The problem is that, you know, if it isn't for Daniel Murphy screwing it up in the field, it is for Daniel Murphy just ripping the cover off the baseball against Matt Pitchin. They gave up 22 runs in the previous three games. They weren't even in those games. It wasn't even close.
No, it was a blow. It was embarrassing. It really was embarrassing how non-competitive they were.
But, you know, 40,000 fans yesterday at Citi Field for a Father's Day tilt. You know, it was good. And,
you like the uniforms or no?
You know, I know why they have the light blue for prostate and all that other stuff. I mean, it's okay. I mean,
it's hard to argue because of the charity connected to the cause.
Yeah, I know, but whatever. I mean, they do this, you know, with breast cancer and everything else. So it's good. I just would say this. You know, every time you're waiting for them to, like, okay, this is it, somebody else gets hurt. Somebody else is not out there. And, you know, now this pitching staff is so, like, up and down, inconsistent, and it goes... You know, Seth Lugo and Steven Matz, and, you know, now DeGrom gives you an A-plus a performance, and you're waiting.
Yeah.
Is the next guy going to do what the previous guy did?
When's the run coming, all that kind of crap? And it's not. Sadly enough, it's just not. And like you said, they got embarrassed for the first three games of the series. Daniel Murphy has that late double yesterday, which was important. Why? Because now he has legitimately gotten on base every single time he's played against the Mets since he went to Washington. But
it was a loss. Him or Anthony Rendon. I mean, those guys just own the Mets, man.
It was a lost weekend across the board. I mean, you're right. Listen, the Yankees losing six in a row. You can make all the excuses you want. Close games, damn near every one of them. You know, bullpen failed them. Offense fails them. They're in a bad stretch right now. They do get Chapman back. Like you said, you have the Angels, the Rangers, and the White Sox before he gets, quote-unquote, real at the end of the month going into July against Houston. And it tells you how the American League East currently sits, because when you lose six in a row and you're still in first place, it tells you that no one else is making a charge.
Yeah, but the problem is that everybody's staying within five games, and a half games. So everybody in that division now is all, like, bunched in there. Nobody's running away with it. The Yankees had a chance and unfortunately couldn't do it and keep everybody else relevant. And, you know, eventually it's going to happen. I know that. I'm making fun. Eventually it's going to happen. Eventually teams are going to go through a tailspin. You just don't want it to be elongated. You just don't want it to get to, like, 9, 10, 11 games. And that's why it's important to take the day off. I think Joe Girardi spoke to that last night. And then come back and hopefully get the thing going again like you had against Baltimore the last time you were in Yankee Stadium, and start feeding off some of that stuff and start hitting home runs
again. And it starts with Pineda, too, so they should probably feel pretty good about that. But Tanaka's a real problem.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I really don't. You know, one day it's a decent outing. The next day it's home run city again.
Yep.
He's allowed 21 home runs, and he's had, let me see, six starts, I believe, where he's allowed five or more earned runs in those six starts.
Well, he's been brutal all year. I mean, his ERA is over six, and he's the quote-unquote ace of your staff.
So he's given up 21 home runs this year. He only gave up 22 all of last year.
If you could send him down, he deserves to be sent down. Right? I mean, that's the reality of his situation, or DL him or something.
You know, Girardi just keeps saying, he's not hurt, he's not hurt, he's not hurt.
He better be hurt, because if he ain't hurt, he can't pitch at this level right now. It's been abusive how bad he has been.
And it's almost like he knows, like, as soon as he gives up the home run, I mean, obviously most pitchers would know because they can hear it from the crack of the bat.
Right.
And they know how fast that ball's exiting the stadium. But you could just see he is so frustrated.
Yeah, something else happened over the weekend, which I know everyone saw it. It happened yesterday. You take stock in it because it's going to be a bit of a changing of the – well, not changing of the guard. It's not the right way to say it. But the Sixers and the Celtics make a deal, which is very interesting based on them playing each other as often as they will.
Right, but do we know what the Celtics are receiving in return? That's the big question that I would want to know.
I do know.
And obviously the Sixers have fell in love with this guy, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, so the Sixers is going to be a damn good team next year. I'll tell you right now.
Why? Because they have a rookie? I mean,
Fultz, how long have I been telling you about Fultz, right?
No, I mean, you told me that about at the beginning of college basketball.
Here's what it is. They swapped the number one and the number three pick, obviously, right?
Yes.
In addition to that, the Celtics also get an additional first-round pick, which will be...
By the way, the Celtics are loaded with picks, like, for the next three or four years.
Philadelphia will give up the 2018 first-round pick it owns via the Lakers. And it's a little somewhat convoluted about where the picks are.
That's actually going to be a great pick.
In theory, it should be, right?
Is it a lottery-protected pick?
If the Lakers pick doesn't fall between 2 and 5 in the draft, they will send the 2019 first-rounder instead. So either way, so basically... What Boston's going to get is the number three pick and another first-round pick in either 18 or 19, okay?
Right.
But it just shows you, when you are loaded with picks, as they are, when you are loaded with talent, as they are, and you're in love with your point guard, Isaiah Thomas, which they are, then you are able to make moves like this. Because the rhetoric was, up until this weekend, boom, hey, maybe the Celtics trade Isaiah Thomas, right? Boomer's got a problem with the coffee that just brought to him.
I said,
wait, we're playing charades.
Call. You want a venti?
That's right. Don't worry about
it.
Don't worry about it.
Well, anyway, you how about just a thank you?
I said thank you.
That's absolutely fine. I do have a venti.
Okay, good.
Even a venti. Okay. Venti.
I told him, and he said he got it. He understood.
You wanted a bigger coffee.
We misinterpreted each other. That's all. I paid for it all.
Okay.
I bought him one.
Fair enough.
So I just tried to be solid.
Good.
We're not on the same page.
You wanted tall.
No. I wanted venti.
Venti. What is venti? The biggest one they got?
Yeah.
Got it. For your mug? You got your mug there?
Yeah.
Boy, you're something special, aren't you?
What do you mean I'm something special?
I mean, you started doing trades like, where's the big one?
Yeah, exactly.
I want the big one.
I don't know what he was thinking about. What were you talking about?
In any event, the Celtics and Sixers.
But here's the deal.
And it just sets the Knicks back.
Here's the only thing
notch.
I would say about this thing from the Celtics' perspective. They're locked and loaded now for probably the next 5 years with draft picks. And Danny Ainge is a smart basketball guy. the total opposite of what the Knicks are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The total opposite.
There you have two teams that are, listen, the Celtics, number one seed this past year.
And locked and loaded, dude. But here's
the thing. Sixers are going to be very good, too.
I think if you take stock of the Celtics right now, they cannot beat the Cavaliers. Why?
Well, I mean,
because Isaiah Thomas cannot overcome LeBron James. Now, eventually, LeBron James is going to go away. Either he's going to, you know, retire someday.
Right.
Someday he'll retire.
Or somewhere else.
Or he'll go to the Western Conference, like everybody thinks that he's going to
be. Yeah, which I don't buy, but go ahead.
All right, well, whatever. But right now, as they stand, they can't beat Cleveland with their present point guard.
I agree 100%. And he's the best player on their team, which is why a lot of people thought that he would be traded because he would have a lot of value after this year. To a team that maybe wanted a veteran point guard who can score like he can.
That could still be the case. I don't know who they're going to take with the third pick. I don't know if they're going to take one of these wing players or they're going to take I guess they felt like, look, at the end of the day, the third pick is going to be a really good player.
It's going to be a really good player.
And, you know, maybe making this trade here and acquiring even more assets, which is what they've done,
yep,
is unbelievable. It's really, they're almost taking like a page out of the New England Patriot book.
Right. You already have a boatload of talent, and now you have the guarantee of getting more talent over the next couple of years.
And in the NBA, the talent resides in the top five. We know that.
You got that. And then, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. actually had a camp for kids. He showed up for it. Apparently, by all accounts, he was all good. And he says that he's never felt more ready for a season, and he feels that it's his responsibility, and I'm quoting him now, to be a good role model. All right. Listen.
Well, he said the right things so many times before, so we'll see.
Hopefully it'll all work out.
Yeah, he's said this how many times now?
He is great with kids, though. I will say that. Just seeing some of the video of him, the kids adore him. Half the kids have the haircut like he does now. But he is fantastic with kids.
Yes.
He might be one of those guys that's better with kids than he is with adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the kids have, undying adulations towards him.
Yeah, like Al Dukes is... Well, he's never good with anyone, but he's better with adults than he is kids. Like, he can't be, in my kids' company for more than about 10 minutes, so I'm being very frustrated.
Yeah, but your kids know about Al Dukes, so they learn to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Where they become the adult in the room.
That happens frequently, yes.
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 Well, as Craig's kids got older, they're much easier to handle. So now I can be in a room with Craig's kids all day long.
Well, this goes back to Dallas.
Yes.
This goes back to Dallas when we were at the Super Bowl. And my kids thought it'd be funny to steal Al's phone and any other type of technology he had.
Well, your kids have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, and then they would try to reprogram it so that he'd be very frustrated. I can't log in. I can't log in. Give me my phone. That kind of stuff.
Right.
This was back in the BlackBerry days.
And frankly, it was quite funny because Al would be extraordinarily frustrated. And you have to imagine, a couple boys, 7 and 9 years old, watching a grown man cry about his technology.
Yeah, speaking of kids, did you have a nice Father's Day?
I did, thank you. How about yourself?
I did, too. I actually went out to the lunch with the kids, and they actually paid.
I was going to ask you who picked up the tab.
I was like, wow, look at
this. I was in your neck of the woods, actually. I had niece's bat mitzvah.
Somebody's picking up the check. Of course, it wasn't Gunner.
Oh, come on, really?
And, of course, it wasn't Sydney.
Matt Martin picked it up?
Yeah, Matt picked it up, yeah.
Are you son-in-law to pay?
That's embarrassing.
Not my son-in-law, so stop it, all right?
You have Father's Day lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Or dinner, whatever it was.
Yeah, lunch. It was a nice lunch.
Nice lunch.
Went to Bar Fritz.
I was there the day before.
Oh, look at that.
See that?
Oh, shut up.
I went to Funky Monkey afterwards.
That's great.
Bought some nonsensical thing for $10.
Yeah.
So you go there.
Yeah.
Your son, who's now gainfully employed.
Yes, he is.
Your daughter, who is employed and actually is dating Matt Martin.
Yes.
And you.
And me.
And happy Father's Day.
Yes.
And the bill comes. There's a little bit of an expectation.
No,
my adult children.
Exactly.
Will pick up the tab because, after all, it is Father's Day.
Yes.
And Matt had to do it, and Gunner allowed
us. Well, I guess he seemed to like to do it.
I respect Matt, dude, but Gunner's got to step up there.
Gunner sits on his hands like this.
Gunner's got boxing gloves on.
He's like, oh, who's paying for it? I'm not. It's unbelievable. I actually thought I taught him better.
Now, I understand Sydney. She's dating Matt, so in theory you could say Sydney with
Sydney.
Matt.
You're right, okay.
But Gunner, as a man, sits there and watches his sister's boyfriend paid for his father's lunch.
Do you ever
this
pay,
is unacceptable.
Do you ever pay attention to the cards that you get from the kids? You ever, like, really read the cards?
Sure.
Right. So, you know, they obviously each give me a card.
Right.
And the cards couldn't be more...
generic?
No. Opposite from each other. There's Gunner's card. It's humble. You know, Dad, thanks so much for doing everything you've done for me. And I'm it's really nice.
Nice. Right? Touching.
All right. And then the front card of Sydney says, Dad, I've grown up to be a wonderful young lady and a woman of power and this and that. And I'm this and I'm that. And it's all somewhat partly because of you.
I'm fantastic.
Yes.
You were somewhat involved in that.
Hey, it's perfect.
Did they get you a gift?
Yes, they did.
Was the gift thoughtful?
Oh, yeah, very thoughtful.
Did the gift show, like, they get you know, where Dad is in his life and
they
what
get it,
my
they
life?
Get it, yeah. So, pretty simply, Gunner got me a decanter for some whiskey.
All right.
And inside a decanter, there is a glass ship in the decanter. So it's glass, and you see the ship is inside of it.
Right.
And you put the whiskey inside, the Johnny Walker
floats.
Blue that they gave me. And it doesn't float. It just sits in there, but it's nice. It looks good. So that's very nice.
Okay.
And then he gave me a foot massager, which he knows I have bad plantar fascia.
Okay.
Shows that he's paying attention.
He's paying attention.
He's paying attention.
Sydney
got me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. So there you go. That's enough.
She got you
I don't need ties. I don't need shoes. I don't need nothing.
So Sydney got you the booze for the decanter that Gunner got you.
Yes. It seemed like they worked in concert together.
So they seemed to work. It's funny what my kids did.
And I'm not so sure Sydney really got involved. I think maybe Gunner just did the whole thing.
Or there was a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue laying around the house and someone picked up, put a ribbon on it and said, hey, Daddy, look what I got you.
Right, because
Gunner got you a decanter and I figured something's got to go in it.
Right.
That could have happened too. It's possible. Well, listen, I'm glad you had. Did you golf yesterday?
I did not golf yesterday, but did watch the U.S. Open yesterday.
You did, which we'll get to a little bit later on.
Which was great. We actually watched a father-son golf that got rained out. So.
And then supposedly there was a big hugabaloo here in the building on Friday.
What happened on Friday?
Apparently Brandon Tierney, who you may have heard of, you know, he does St. John's stuff, but also worked in New York prior to going out to San Francisco, then came back. And he's on the CBS Sports Radio Network, which, while you don't get it here, most of you know who Brandon is, of course.
He also does a great job on Tops on CBS.
Yeah, he does the CBS
Sports Network,
the
Sunday
pregame
mornings,
show
yes.
over on Tops. He and Mike Francesca apparently got into it on Friday, yelling and screaming and cursing in the hallway, then in a private office, and everyone was...
I mean, you got to do it at work. You can't do it away from work.
Well, I don't think they have a relationship outside of work, so how are you going to curse someone out if you don't talk to them outside of work?
What are they screaming at?
You can only curse them out while you're at work.
What was the issue?
That's up for debate, I suppose. I told Al to book Brandon on the show. Although my gut is that Brandon's going to probably try to stay away from it. But let's see if you can get him on. I want to know what it is, too.
Maybe Mike thought Brandon was you because you're both bald.
That's possible. Possible. As the story goes, Brandon at some point at the top of his lungs said, "Who the F are you?" And Mike somehow said to him, "You're a fraud." Now, I'm not sure what happened between those two comments, but I do know that it was.
I know you love this kind of crap.
Yes, because I'm not involved in it at all, and I just get to be an armchair quarterback.
Now you've just gotten yourself involved somehow.
Now, how am I involved? I'm just saying I'm acknowledging it. And I'd love to get down to the bottom of it and see, like, what caused such a ruckus. Yeah, then there was an article.
Do we get human resources involved or what? What happens?
Well, and more
somebody,
here.
I don't think HR is here
Somebody
on
at HR
Fridays.
Has got to be involved in this. You can't have two employees going, you know, toe-to-toe. Well,
yeah, but it's a summer Friday. I don't think they're here.
Nobody cares. Okay, good.
Or you just have one person in the building that was offended by the content of the language.
Maybe they're in Italy.
Maybe.
No, that was all the other executives.
Oh, that's all the other.
Yeah, I think they're in Spain now, I think.
All right, okay.
And then there was, you talk about the concept of, can you trust what you read in the paper? Or is this concept of
fake news
alive and well? So, in the last week, CNN.com reported that Boomer Esiason said ABCD&E here in studio with Chris Christie, despite the fact you weren't here that day.
That's fake news.
And then I was reading a Phil Mushnick on a Sunday. And he wrote such a piece of garbage that it was actually troubling to me that you can write the things that were written with a clear conscience, despite the fact that there's no truth to it at all.
Well, print reporting, just isn't the same.
Same with Raceman as well.
Now, what were they writing?
It's interesting, Boomer.
Did they take a shot at you or me?
That wasn't a shot at either one of us.
Okay.
That's the funny thing about it.
Okay.
It's amazing to me.
Who was a shot at or what were they writing?
It's just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah,
that
I know
you
it's
can,
amazing to you. So
I'm
going to
tell you what it is if you
tell
it.
Me for.
So your boy Bob Raceman, mm-hmm. all right, yes. writes a story, okay? He writes a story, yeah. and that's what his job is, I suppose. Write a story.
Write a story.
He writes a story.
He wrote a story.
That the New York Yankees are concerned that with Mike leaving WFAN, that there's no one on the radio station that's really pumping the Yankees up. And the Yankees have called or have privately or anonymously or however you want to put it, have suggested that that's problematic for them going forward in their relationship with the radio station. That might be the single dumbest thing that Bob Raceman has ever written. And I can guarantee you, it does not come from the New York Yankees.
I know, because you're the guy that receives the missives every
MLB
day.
MLB sources say the Yankees MLB are concerned sources. With Francesa's departure because of his role as a longtime Bombers pom-pom waiver. Wrong. It's like it. There's no conscience at all.
Yeah, I know.
Just
write that. Write whatever you want to write and just
with
throw it
out there. With their partnership with FAN being worth millions in terms of rights fees, it makes sense for Yankee suits to want the new afternoon drive host to have an allegiance to them or at least have a Yankee sensibility.
Well, we got a morning guy that does that already. We need an afternoon guy that does that. And I thought he and
I talk more Yankee baseball than anybody.
Is that somebody that was going to support A-Rod through that whole thing? Somebody like that?
I don't know. Right? So, and I would tell you this.
I mean, listen, it's hard to write once a week. You know that.
The Yankees hate Mike.
Got to come up with something once a week. And you got to put about maybe 1,000 words in there?
Which couldn't be that hard.
Is it 1,000 words? I don't even know.
I don't even know how many words it is, but you're right. You write one day a week. You have to, and you invent stuff? Like, there's enough going on in New York that you could come up with something maybe even
you
twice
mean,
a week.
Maybe there's like a deep state leak at MLB or something that, you know, somebody lower level.
Yeah, a guy, someone at MLB told him the way the Yankees are thinking about WFN's search for an afternoon host.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, if you can't be better than that, then just stop doing it. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
In any event, Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.